Well, Matt alluded to when I came to meet the Lord, and just for the record, it was my 19th birthday on that day, on a Saturday, that I accepted the Lord, but duration doesn't really count so much as a day-by-day approach to our relationship with the Lord, because you can have a long-term history in sports, in politics, in business, and it may not mean a thing at the end of the day. So what counts most is today. And before I get started, could you jack up the air a little bit, because I don't want to lose the few I have left, Jim? I said I'd read Psalm 40 to you, and I will. And I don't know what, I can't remember the version this came out of, but it reads like this: God sits exalted above the universe. We are weak and needy creatures. Yet the Lord thinks of us. He hears our cries. He brings us up out of horrible places. He sets our feet on a rock and puts a song of praise in our mouths. Now, the version I usually read doesn't quite capture it in those words, but when I read it, it did capture me. I've got about 20 pages here that I want to go over with you, not really, but really this morning, to be honest, I have nothing new to say. So don't be looking for anything new. The only thing I can count on is that I'm working out of God's Word, and what He says, the Holy Spirit can expand in our understanding. So what you're going to hear is not original with me, and it's not new to your ears, but it's something to reflect on what God has done and is doing. Kevin's been speaking about getting on with it and finishing well, which is for all of us. I can't offer how to do that, but I think God's Word this morning will direct us on how we can get down the road in a better place, in getting on with what He's called us to do, in finishing well. And a large part of it, I think personally, in my mind, I ask myself the question, what has God said to me recently? What have I responded to? And what am I acting on? Or have I shelved the Word of God? Is it something I heard? I said, yeah, but that's not for today. It's not for this month. It's not for this year. That's for further down the road. But what we're talking about is today. Today counts. Yesterday's over, and tomorrow's not here, so it's today is what we're looking at. When I was thinking about this, I was reading through Scripture, and the Apostle Paul wrote two letters to his disciple Timothy. These letters were very personal, and they were written from prison. Now, when was the last time you got a letter in the mail? Not an email, a letter in the mail. It has a personal flavor to it. When you see the address, who it came from, and you cut it open, and you pull it out, and the texture of the letter, and the ink on the page, and the words that are expressed, it means a lot. A real letter means a lot. And I don't know about you, but I've got dozens and dozens of letters I've saved over the years from select individuals in my life who have encouraged and imparted something to me by taking the time to write a letter. Now, Paul, he was imprisoned under Emperor Nero, and it was during that time that he wrote 2 Timothy. This was in contrast to his first imprisonment was basically a rented house. And that's where 1 Timothy was written. In this condition, the second letter, he's now in a cold dungeon. He's chained like a common criminal. His friends even had a hard time finding out where he was being kept. And Paul knew that his work was done and his life was nearly over. In the second letter to Timothy, Paul wrote it and said Timothy was his fellow worker. He was a son that served closely with Paul. Of him, Paul could say, I have no one else like him. Paul longed for Timothy, and he asked him twice to come visit him. In the letter, Paul was concerned about the welfare of the churches during this time of persecution, and he admonished Timothy to guard the gospel, to preserve it, and to keep preaching, and if necessary, to suffer for it. Now, I'm not going to read the whole book. I wanted to, but that'd be a little bit too much for us to absorb, so I wanted to capture some of the adjectives and verbs that stood out to me as I read it. So as we're thinking about getting on with it and finishing well, what does that mean to me personally? What's God saying to me? Here's what Paul said to Timothy. Fight the good fight. Now in all these phrases, think of what does that mean to you? Is there a correlation between what God had said through Paul to Timothy and what God is saying to you this morning through his word? Not through me, this is all straight out of his word. Fight the good fight. Do not be ashamed. Kindle afresh the gift of God in you. What does that mean? Kindle afresh the gift of God in you. That's for you to answer. Let's suffer together. Retain the standard. This is all requiring something. Imagine Paul's in prison. He's writing this letter. As far as we know, it's the last letter he wrote. We don't know if Timothy saw him again, but think of you writing the last letter of your life to your son or daughter. These are your last words. How important would it be to express what is important to you in your love for them? That's what this letter is about. It's personal. Guard the treasure. We all have a treasure to guard. Guard that treasure. Be strong in grace. Why? You think we need to? I think Paul thought so. Pass it on. Don't hold it to ourselves. Pass it on. Suffer hardship. He says it again. Remember Christ Jesus. It's easy to forget. No matter how many years we've walked with God, it's easy to get familiar with a relationship and not invest anymore, not take time. Remember Jesus Christ. Do it for others. This walk is other-oriented. It's not for us. It's to prefer others more than ourselves. Remind others. That's what we're doing this morning. All I've taken is the Word of God, and I'm reminding you what God had said through Paul to Timothy. That's all I'm doing this morning. And we've heard it before, but we need to hear it, and we need to keep hearing it because I forget. We forget. Be diligent. We have to do something. We have to be diligent about it. Present yourself approved to God. Nobody can do that for you. Kevin said it 100 times, nobody can do that for you. You have to do it for yourself. Present yourself to God. Be prepared. Get equipped. How do we get equipped? These are Paul's last words to Timothy. Get equipped. Flee youthful lust. He threw that in there too. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. That speaks of a relational approach. Those aren't words you pursue, it's out of relationship that you pursue those. Don't quarrel. The tendency would be to quarrel and argue. Be kind. Be teachable. Be patient. Correct others gently. Some of us are better at doing that than others. Husband to wife, father to son, mother to daughter. Correct others gently. Become convinced. What do you believe and why do you believe it? Become convinced of what you believe and why you believe it. Don't let me convince you. Let the Word of God convince you. Continue on. Years ago, the first church Shay and I ever attended back in Virginia, the House of Bread, the senior pastor was a fellow named Jim Covert, and his favorite line, and we heard it quite often, was, "Plod on, plod on, plod on." He referred to that so many times. And Kevin has said that to me personally in a different way. Don't settle for less than what God has for you. Don't quit. Don't sit on the bench. Don't wait for somebody else. God has called you specifically to do something that only you can do. Don't quit. Don't settle for less. Paul is telling Timothy to preach, but I think that's for all of us. I don't think you have to be a minister, a layman, an elder, or anything like that to preach, to reprove, to rebuke, and exhort. That's for everyone. That's for all of us at all times and all places in every situation. Endure hardship, he says it a third time. Now, one thing Gary Urban said to me about a year ago, and it was profound to me, and it may not be so profound to you, but he said to me, he said, "Bill, do you know a year from now, it'll be a year from now." A year from now, it'll be a year from now. That means what happens today counts for tomorrow, and it makes a difference in the future. Robert Grant said, where you want to be in 5 years starts today. You can't put it off and prolong it and think, well, I'm going to whatever, learn a language, go back to school, get my degree, get a new job, start painting again, start writing, start reading. It starts today. When you implement it is when it starts, and the difference will play out years down the road. Robert also said something, it was kind of funny, of things that we fall into. He says we are willing to spend money we don't have for things we don't need to impress people we don't like. Now, why go down those roads? That's just something we do. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what we do. I wanted to interject a letter. Matt mentioned the men's retreat coming up. And this is mostly for the men, but I want you women to listen too, because it will affect you. But it's more on a man's world. Dear friends, it's important for men to remember that as women grow older, it becomes harder for them to maintain the same quality of housekeeping as they did when they were younger. When men notice this, they should try not to yell. Let me relate how Bob handled the situation. Bob explains, "When I got laid off from my consulting job and took an early retirement in April, it became necessary for my wife Nancy to get a full-time job, both for extra income and for health benefits that we need. It was shortly after she started working that I noticed that she was beginning to show her age. I usually get home from fishing or hunting about the same time she gets home from work. Although she knows how hungry I am, she almost always says that she has to rest for a half hour or so before she starts supper. I try not to yell. Instead, I tell her to take her time, just wake me up when she finally gets around to putting supper on the table. She used to do the dishes as soon as we finished eating. It is now not unusual for them to sit on the table for several hours after supper. I do what I can by reminding her several times each evening that they aren't going to clean themselves. I know she appreciates this, and it does seem to help her get them done before she goes to bed. Now that she is older, she seems to get tired so much more quickly. Our washer and dryer are in the basement. Sometimes she says she just can't make another trip down those stairs. I don't make a big issue out of this. As long as she finishes the laundry the next evening, I'm willing to overlook it. Not only that, but unless I need something ironed to wear to the Monday Lodge meeting or Wednesday or Saturday's poker club or Tuesday or Thursday's bowling or something like that, I'll tell her just to wait until the next evening or the next morning to do the ironing. This gives her a little more time to do some of those odds and ends around the house, like shampooing the dog, vacuuming and dusting. Also, if I had a really good day fishing, this allows her to gut and scale the fish at a more leisurely pace. Nancy's starting to complain a little bit occasionally. For example, she'll say that it's difficult for her to find time to pay the monthly bills during her lunch hour. In spite of her complaining, I continue to try and offer encouragement. I tell her to stretch it out over two or three, even 3 days. That way she won't have to rush so much. I also remind her that missing lunch completely now and then wouldn't hurt her, if you know what I mean. When doing simple jobs, she seems to think she needs more rest periods. She had to take a break when she was only half finished mowing the yard. I try not to embarrass her when she needs these little extra breaks. I tell her to fix herself a nice big cold glass of freshly squeezed lemonade and just sit for a while. I tell her that as long as she's making one for herself, she may as well make one for me and take a break by the hammock so she can talk with me until I fall asleep. I know that I probably look like a saint in the way I support Nancy on a daily basis. I'm not saying that the ability to show this much consideration is easy. Many men will find it difficult. Some will find it impossible. No one knows better than I do how frustrating women can become as they get older. However, guys, even if you just yell at your wife a little less often because of this, I think this article was worth writing. Subnote, Bob's funeral was on Saturday, January 25th. Nancy was acquitted on Monday, January 27th. That's gearing up for the men's retreat, so. At any rate, a little humor in there to how we relate to each other and how we get along and what that means, how life plays out. I said earlier, I've saved cards and letters that I've received over the years that have encouraged me personally, and I pull them out a couple times a year and always before I share. I've got a letter from Kevin dated back in the early 70s that is dear to my heart, that was like a Paul to Timothy. I go back and read that, and it kind of helps me see me and puts things in perspective. And I can remember the very first verbal lesson that Kevin gave me, October in Albany. We sat down to talk, and I call it the greenies. And what he did, he was telling me about Vietnam and how when he got there, he got off the plane and he's in his military gear, and he walks down, hits the tarmac, and he's walking across, and he sees all these other soldiers that had just come out of the bush, faded, torn, ripped, ragged. The uniforms didn't look like what he was wearing. And there were all these new rookies, the greenies, he called them, because they were fresh, starched, ironed, squared away, military. And he said he was drawn to the ragged, tagged, torn up, ripped, dirty, bloody, filthy uniforms that he saw because he could identify there was experience, there was personal skin in the game, there was something to learn about something where he had never been, to do things he had never done, to see things he had never seen, to hear things he had never heard, and put his life on the line like he had never done ever. So he was drawn to those with experience in the field. And he was telling me at the time, we were both younger then, it's good to be mentored, it's good to be discipled, it's good to take the initiative to get along someone who has experience outside of your own for your benefit, in the long run, to lay down pride, to be willing to ask questions, to be willing to try new things and see what God would do. And that lesson has stuck with me it hasn't always been played out because pride gets in the way and I get stubborn and I don't want to hear it, I don't want to know, I want to be independent, I want to do it myself. But having a disciple, having a mentor, having somebody willing to speak into your life and take you places that you have no experience is incredible and life-saving, both in the military and here in Mission Viejo. It's a big deal. Can you bring up Isaiah 55, 6 through 9? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Again, I want to say, don't settle for less in God and what he has for you. And I wanted to reflect on one other gentleman that was here earlier this year, Brian Emmett, who you've met, a good friend of Kevin and Cooper and Matt, Ryan's. He came and visited earlier this spring, and he made a couple comments that I wanted to repeat. And these comments, I have to say, obviously reflect Laura Williams' life and who she is and what she's done. And as many of you saw last week with the slideshow, I don't know about you, but I couldn't get through it without breaking down. And Laura didn't even have to get up and say anything. The photos said it all. Her clutching all these children in so many nations all over the earth. But Brian said, relative to that, attention determines direction. Now somehow, God got Laura's attention and gave her direction. And she had skin in the game because it cost her 11 months of her life, laying down her occupation, taking money out of her pocket to finance her way through around the world trip. Next, he said, direction determines destination. That's what took her to all those countries in the world. Now, I'm not saying we have to sign up for a worldwide trip. That's not what God has said to me or Shay, but he said that to Laura, and that's what she did. And the last thing is, doing comes out of being. That spoke volumes when I saw those photos of her holding those children. Because of who she is, that's what she does. And it was in response to the Lord and what he's put in her heart as a nurse, caretaker, young children, those who can't take care of themselves. She put it all out there to invest her time, her life, her money, her resources to do this. And that just crushed me on the inside to see that. I was so proud of Laura and what she's done and what she continues to do. And sorry for putting you in the spotlight, but you are quite an amazing young woman. That being said, will the men come up who are going to help with communion? Now, this semi-transition is a time where I want to read a couple of scriptures. Jesus said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Think of it in this way. This was the last Passover. This was a one-time deal. It happened the night he was betrayed. Everything was on the line. And this is what he did, the very last thing he did. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Now this morning, as we take communion, the elements, and Lee and Matt will pray over the elements and then we'll distribute them, it's a time for reflection and commemoration of what Jesus did when he laid down his life. And as the Father poured forth the Son poured forth the Spirit. And there's a real opportunity, and we have some time here, to pray together after communion, like we usually do at the beginning of the service oftentimes. So after we take communion, Pat will come up and play some music, and I want you to pray with and for anyone in the room you like, not the person you're sitting next to necessarily. You might want to go across the room. You may want to talk to somebody. We have time for that. And this is one of two sacraments in the church, baptism and Holy Communion. So with that, Lee, would you take over?